Well, thank you so much for joining me at the Children's Science Museum, Gary.
Oh, hey, dinos!
I know, right? It's apropos. As you can see, actually, no, Gary, get away from the coins.
Huh?
The funnel. The funnel thing where the coin
This is the most fun you can have for a penny.
I know, right? No, you can't get a crushed penny either.
No,
that wasn't you. That was one of the exhibits. It's fine. No, we're over by the gigantic Spirograph. You know where they have the canvas or the butcher paper, and there is the marker on a pendulum.
Yeah.
So I was talking to some of the fungineers here about some of this, and there are some spooky happenings, and they've been getting lists of names drawn out. So there is some kind of, in a wanted-like fashion, there is some kind of force at work here. So
that
we're gonna,
is scary, but I mean, it, like everything at the Science Museum, it's God's will.
Exactly. There is Jesus on a raptor over there. we're going to give this a spin here.
Okay. Boy, if I had to try to find a Spirograph sound effect, I would have a really hard time.
I know. We're lucky that we're right here. I'm going to pull out my phone and record it so we can put it in later.
Okay.
Let's see here. Let's pick up the paper and look at this thing. We're going to be doing Deadly Towers.
Fuck.
Holy shit, he ate his shirt.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, the show that you get with the app or by tribute for listening to Watch Out for Fireballs.
Yes, and this week we are talking about Deadly Towers for the NES. Who suggested this, Gary?
The game, not the towers.
Yes.
This is suggested by Justin Nungiven, which I think means he did not give his last name.
Yes, he did not give his last name.
It parses it just one word. It looks really cool.
Yeah,
Nungiven.
It's vaguely Nordic, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too.
Nungivenson.
Like, oh. Yeah, I was going to have to try to pronounce something.
That's never
Justin
good.
Suggested this. Yeah.
Why are you doing this to us?
Yeah, don't make me pronounce things. Also, don't fucking make me play Deadly Towers.
Holy shit, man! Not cool.
Yeah. Ugh.
Like the best thing about it is that it was potentially going to be called Hell's Bells, son.
Yeah, which would be pretty cool. In the alternate world in which you play Hell's Bells, your goal is to get as many dirty deeds done for a low cost as possible.
And what tool do you use for that?
TNT.
Yeah, there we go.
That's it. Yeah, there we go.
but don't stand on top of the towers because you might be
knocking on heaven's door.
I was going for Thunderstruck, but I'll allow
okay.
it.
Your AC/DC foo was a little bit stronger than mine.
a little bit.
I had a mom's boyfriend. When you have a background like me, you only have like one stepdad, or actually, let's be honest, several stepdads, one regular dad, but then this entire rogues gallery of mom's boyfriends throughout the year. And I had one who used to clean the house every Sunday and start at like 6 a.m. and do it while blasting AC/DC's greatest hits exclusively. So I would be like up all night because it was Saturday night and I'd play video games or going out with my friends, drink coffee and stuff. And he would wake me up at 7 blasting AC/DC's greatest hits.
Yeah.
So all of them, Dirty Deeds, Big Balls, I Want to Rock and Roll All Night, Honk on Bobo, like every single song by AC/DC was rocked, and then I was trying to sleep through it. It was really difficult.
Yeah, no
negative associations of those guys.
Yeah, I always, whenever I wake up, I put on Let There Be Rock, and that gets me through my entire morning routine.
Yeah, do you really?
No, I don't.
What I do, this is a true thing. I will tie, if I'm in a hurry, I always listen to music in the shower. I hook my iPod up to the radio, and I will blast music. And if I'm in a hurry, I will pick a long song and then finish my shower by the end of it.
Right.
And a really well-length song that really gets you pumped to do that is 2112 by Rush.
That is a great song.
It is a wonderful song.
Are you doing
song.
The medley? Because like the full one is like 45 minutes.
No, maybe not the song. I'm doing – what am I thinking then? I'm doing We Are the Priest.
Yeah, that's the second movement. I believe
I'm doing the second movement. Yeah.
Holy fuck. Oh, God. I just had a moment of blinding insight.
What is that?
just a shocking revelation that I was able to
What?
No, it's fine. I was just able to identify the particular movement of Rush by one bar.
Yeah, you just referred to a Rush song as a movement.
It's a kind of movement. I like Rush a lot.
An unsuccessful Facebook post that I thought was funny about the priest of the Temple of Cernix casting cure light wounds on the Knights of Cydonia. But nobody got
it. That is so good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Like I like this whole like constructed Dungeons and Dragons world from these nerd rock bands.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I'm glad we were able to immortalize that.
I was happy too. I've been waiting a year and a half for a way to bring that up during one of the shows.
That is a good metric. I started listening to podcasts in the shower. I've got like a little Bluetooth boombox thing here that's really neat. It's Logitech if you're looking it up. And buying it on the Amazon but before that my metric would be I would start singing a song and I would try to be done by like another song down in the album.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. This on this podcast we're talking about deadly showers.
Yeah.
a game that Nintendo refused the Nintendo Seal of Quality for.
Oh, I didn't know that history.
Only because of calling it Hell's Bells.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Nintendo was like, we're not going to approve this game as Hell's Bells. If you change the title, though, we're going to give it a seal of quality. And as is, like, the gameplay didn't change at all.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Okay, so let's jump right into this. So this is Dark Souls, right?
It's like shitty Dark Souls. This is a standard action role-playing game.
Yes.
Is what this is. It's kind of like... Imagine like a chubby Zelda wearing pajamas and shooting swords out of his dick, attempting to fight globes of water.
Like, and also those slinkies from Marble Madness.
Yeah, fighting all the enemies from Marble Madness, both the marbles and the enemies, with swords out of your dick.
He looks like, yes, he does have dick daggers, which is the name.
A poor name.
Yeah, poor name. Yeah. You know, he looks like my childhood drawings of Cain.
In the biblical game. Cain?
No, yes.
Like you fucking nerd.
No. Dragoon Cain from Final Fantasy.
Okay.
He looks like that, right? He's got the horns on his shit.
Yeah, he's a little bit. He's a little plumper though.
Yeah.
Like he's kind of like he's a toddler. He's toddler Cain.
Todlin Kane.
Yeah, there goes Todlin Simon. So you look like a crappy Kane. Swords come and they're like, you notice that, right? Like they're undeniably coming from your dick.
Yeah. I didn't want to dwell on it. I didn't want to hit too hard too fast because like that's the angry video game nerd kind of thing. It bears mentioning. I'm glad that you brought it up, but I'm not going to be like, wow, dick swords with.
Yeah,
but
I'm sorry if I'm tilting my head. I don't remember that angry video game nerd segment. I'm sure I've watched it at some point.
It seems like I don't know. I see this, and all I can think of is Mylon's Secret Tower, which I think he did a review of. It's very similar, actually, at least in terms of the way that it navigates, if I remember right. But
how does this game navigate? Like, it doesn't. I would end up inside this tower through no action of my own, like multiple times.
Yeah.
Like it's really weird. Like God help you if you could figure out anything that happens in this game.
There are invisible doors, but they are so invisible that it actually kind of feels like you're blackout drunk.
Yeah.
you're just time traveling and teleporting, you know?
Oh
yeah. It's real dumb. So this says something. I didn't care enough to do a map.
Oh yeah, that's true. That, that means something. I mean, I imagine like any map you did would probably, you know, like I guess it probably is the same every time, but the relation in space, like when I would get teleported to one of those doors, there was no indicator where I'd come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're often dropped into the middle of the room. In fact, when you leave through a door, like if you leave through the right side of the door, you come in, you know, on the or you exit it on that same side of the door. So, yeah, there's almost no conservation of space to the point where I would think, like, okay, I am north of this and south of this. It's this weird House of Leaves-esque quality where you can go in and then go up three, turn right one, turn right again, turn right again, and you won't actually cross the path that you saw. Like, you would think that you would intersect with yourself, but you don't.
It's a little bit like the mapping. If you ever want to drive yourself real crazy, start fucking around trying to make a map for Goonies 2.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever played that game? Like, that's really confusing. And that's kind of what this reminded me of a little bit.
Yeah. So you're sieging the house on hill house.
What? Yeah.
You're sieging the hill house. There we go.
Yeah, there we are. So you walk around, so multiple things about this game that suck. One of the things is that there is no rhyme or reason or consistency to how many hits an enemy takes to kill.
Right.
So, like, some things you can kill in two or three shots, which should really be the maximum for things you're running into.
Right. Just
actually, I'm going to go as that should – you should never – a standard enemy should never take more than three hits to kill. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're running into something that takes more than that, then you should come into it later with a more powerful weapon.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It has to be some kind of gatekeeper, right?
Yeah.
Like, that could be the situation if different things are weak to different things. I could see that, where it's, like, trying to figure something out. But as this stands, it's – yeah.
That's I'm going to say that's true in, like, a role-playing game, too, like a standard enemy. Like, if three of your guys attack, like, a random encounter enemy, it should probably die.
Right.
You know? It just seems about right, like, pacing-wise. This, though, has this weird thing where, like, some things take three, some things take, like, 30. And the way that your rate of fire is measured is how many swords you have on the screen.
Right.
You have an unlimited rate of fire, but you can only have one sword on the screen at a time, which means that if something is distant from you, you shoot this really sluggish, slow-moving projectile every, like, second. If you're right next to it, though, you can just tap-a-tap-a-tap-a and just jam 1,000 dick swords right into his face and, like, just, and, you know, and stunlock them and kill them really fast.
Yep.
So that's a problem.
So, like, I could see that being a really misguided, intentional thing where it's just kind of like, oh, if you want to defeat something quick, you have to get up close. That's part of the the risk reward, right?
I guess, but they, you know, that
like I said,
that
misguided.
It argues with the fact that oftentimes the screen is just so full of garbage.
Yeah,
that, you know, there's no getting around it, man. Like like, you get your first screen, it's fine, and then you move a little bit to your left, and as soon as, like, the fireballs start coming up from off-screen, like, you're just kind of fucked at that point.
Yep.
And you get stunlocked, too.
You don't just get stunlocked. You get knocked back, like, several tomba widths.
Yeah, totally. And you can get knocked off the ledge, which is instant death.
Right, which sends you back to the beginning. Or it can knock you back into a different room where something could just be waiting for you, and because there's no invincibility, you're just, you know, fucked.
Man, invincibility after getting hit, like, that seems like a real
basic, like, that seems just again implied.
Yeah, like, that should be necessary.
Yeah,
you know, if you're not going to have, like, a Dark Souls-esque, like, poise system, you know, like, you need something like that if you're going to stun, if an enemy's effect is or attack is going to stop you from doing something, I need to be able to be invincible, or I just need to be able to walk away from it,
right?
That's what I mean, man. In my game maker class, I learned how to do that. Like, if you didn't do that, like, it would become evident, like, because you'd walk up to something and it would instantly drain your health. And you're like, oh, I need to either shunt myself back from this. You know, it's like one of the reasons, like, Mega Man gets knocked back. One of the reasons why is, like, just to make the platforming trickier, but also so you're not immediately next to the hazard.
Right.
So, like, when your invincibility wears off, you're not immediately hit again.
Right.
You know? Yeah, real 101. Kind of stuff.
So they didn't pay attention to that, but they paid enough attention to give you the ability to shoot diagonally.
Yeah. Yep. Which is real, real odd.
And in doing some research on this, apparently they're like, you get movement upgrades. Like, you find equipment, you can buy stuff in a vaguely Binding of Isaac kind of way. And, like, one of them is, like, you move faster when you're on diagonals.
One of the other things that's, that's interesting too. So it's like, there's a seed of, like, you know, kind of a, I remember watching Dr. Sparkle play this on Crontendo. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that's interesting about it is that, like, when it came out, it was, you know, when you watch that show, which I recommend everybody watch every episode of it because it's wonderful, you're learning about, like, trends in gaming history. So, like, you see, like, something come out, hit it big, and then you get to watch a couple weeks later as, like, every company puts out one of these things. And this was, like, in the wake of, you know, like, one of the first, like, RPGs. So, like, RPGs were really big. This kind of, you know, Wizards and Warriors, Ultima, Wizardry, you know, stats kind mm-hmm. of thing. So this came out, like, along with, like, Rygar and, right. And stuff like that. You know, item-based things. So I remember watching him play through it, and you get a lot of upgrades. Like, you get tons of stuff. But one thing I couldn't figure out that I noticed in my playthrough is, like, when you die, you don't lose everything. Because pretty close to the beginning, you can get a health upgrade. And then when I went back, it was still there.
Right.
So could I just, like, go get that, jump off the cliff, go get that, jump off the cliff, and just grind up health infinitely?
Yes.
Yeah, that's okay.
So that changes the score a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. There's still stuff about this that's bullshit, but it is.
It just turns into patience. It becomes like Final Fantasy II, where you're just standing around a field punching your friends. Or Final Fantasy Tactics too.
Yeah, that would be the one I would say.
Yeah. It's real tedious, but you can grind in it. Like, because there's no reason to kill bad guys, which, like, led me, I think, unless there's you get coins.
Right.
And you get Captain America shields. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what those do. But the other than coins, there's really no reason to grind on bad guys. So I would try to avoid them, but then one of them would catch me and stunlock me into another guy and I'd die.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I would run into the most, which is enemies. I would run into enemies the most and get knocked into other enemies and die. And there are some narrow corridors where stuff is jumping up and down, vaguely iridescent balls of energy are, you know, jumping up and down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, it says that in the Wikipedia, it says it's a permanent power-up mechanic, which blurred the line between power-ups and experience points.
So here's the weird thing about this game, which is when you die, you get a password. It's another one of those weird ASCII, I believe, case-sensitive kind of things. Mm. Pretty long. But it copies it for you, so when you go, you have continue. You have a continue button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is merciful, I think.
Yeah, necessary. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even though, do you ever reach a checkpoint so you don't start back at the beginning?
I don't believe that you do, no. I think it's just you pretty much have to figure out how to make the run to the boss.
Yeah.
But the goal of this is, so the reason it was called Hell's Bells is because there's an ancient evil that is threatening the kingdom, and you have to, you know, you're a prince and you're going to, you know, take out his tower, blah, blah, blah. You're going after these seven bells to, like, burn them down. I don't know. I would ring a bell.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't. It's probably a Japanese thing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not to be dismissive of another culture, but it's probably just a weird, like, a paper bell or something like that.
Like wooden Shinto bells.
Yeah. Something, you know, like that.
Honoring their house spirits or whatever. Ugh.
Yeah. So a Wendigo ghost of some kind. Yeah.
But I really hope people know I'm joking.
We are both joking.
Please don't do kung fu on me. But like, that's not even funny.
Yeah, I don't know why that. Like, we say a lot of terrible things. I don't know why that got to me. But
man, I really want to love the component parts of this.
Yeah, I mean, so it's not like there aren't things to recommend it. And it has that – I didn't play it when I was young, even though it was like a bestseller. Like, this game was very successful because of that, like, kind of just hitting up on.
1985. Like it was selling against, like, weird arcade ports where you're shooting at clowns.
Well, but I mean, I'm just – like, in the end, though, like, a lot of people had this in their homes.
Right.
You know, is the point. Like, yes, there wasn't tons of software for it, mm-hmm. but it was a big hit, you know. And, like, I never ended up with my hands on it. But if I did, I probably would have forced my way through a lot of it.
Yeah.
You know, like Arista's Ring or like Castlevania 2 or any number of things like that.
Yeah. I would like to get a hold of the manual for this because I wonder how much of like the weird NES-ery, like the incredibly vague just stuff just happens and nothing explains what this item does or why, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. Yep. And hopefully a lot of that stuff got explained.
Yeah.
And it would maybe make it okay. Like, I agree with you about, you know, their component parts.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're going into a crazy tower with monsters, and it, you know, you're building up a character. Like, I like that a lot. But
me too.
Yeah.
I'm gonna blow your mind here for a second, Cole.
Okay.
I was just kind of clicking around on Wikipedia. And we don't do show notes on this program, so everybody else, I'm just going to tell you what to Google. Or on the Wikipedia at the bottom, they link this thing from vintagecomputing.com that says secret Deadly Tower maps revealed. Click on that and then scroll down to these like design document maps and tell me that it is not headache-inducing as shit.
Okay, secret Deadly Tower.
Yeah. VC and G exclusive, secret Deadly Towers maps revealed. Everyone Google it.
Yes, Google that right now as I Google it.
Yes.
Let me scroll. Oh, no.
Right?
Oh,
like, click on it. It gets
huge.
It is ridiculous. Like, this is, like, the most elaborate. Like, I have played a lot of D&D, and part of the joy of D&D as a dungeon master,
As a master of dungeons.
As somebody who has literally mastered dungeons.
As the caster of die.
As a dungeon mister, you want to make elaborate death traps and dungeons.
Uh-huh.
This is nauseating.
This is like something that if you were in prison.
Yeah.
If you like, this is a thing that happens. My family's in corrections. I've seen some of the D&D maps that people in prison make.
Mm.
Like, imagine if you had no time. This is up there with that. It's up there with D&D prison maps.
If you have any of that stuff, you should hook me up with it. I would love to see that.
Yeah, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah, that would be great. I would really appreciate that. I think that this looks – I think – when I look at this, I think, what is this going to summon? Like, if all these places are in – all these pieces are in place, exactly what avatar of Nyarlathotep is this going to please? Because it's one of them.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way around it.
And they're all labeled with letters.
Yeah.
Is that the enemies that are in there? I don't see a
it's how you spell out God's secret name, Cole. Is my going through in the correct way.
Oh. That I can't look at that anymore. That is really
it's a Publico bubble.
It's not even on a regular grid. It's just scrawled out like a crazy person. Like, yeah. I'd expect to see this like written in like black bile on a thin vellum. Scroll.
Yeah, this should be written in prostitute blood, and it's going to appease whoever is talking to Jack the Ripper in the night.
Right.
Like, did you get to the – did you fight a dragon in this?
Yes. That was a fun fight.
Did you realize, like, the kind of – the same mechanics that apply to the regular enemies apply to him, so you can just stunlock him?
Yep, I did that.
I did the first fight. I was trying to dodge him like a chump.
Uh-huh.
And, like, just kind of get in my pot shots. And then I was like, oh, wait, he stops for a second every time I do this. If I just go up to him and jam on the button, like, he won't get a chance to fight me.
Yeah, you just have to go up and honk on Bobo. Yeah.
Yeah, if you honk his Bobo real good,
yeah,
then he does not make it.
I liked that I could be knocked off the back, like, out of that. So, like, if I was trying to play dodgy, like, it wasn't just a matter of losing health. It was a matter of losing progress. There was something about that that tickled my, bone. But
yeah. Difficult.
So we're drawing up on time.
Yeah.
This is a real, I don't know. Is this the earliest game that we've done?
Well, we did, what is it? Kid Cool. That
Kid
was
Cool.
Probably pretty early. That's similar graphics too.
Yeah.
It's about the earliest game. It's up there.
Right.
If it's not the earliest, it's like the second earliest or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, it's not like there's nothing to recommend this, but it has really, really obvious rough edges that needed to be shaved off.
Right. And that even its peers had addressed.
Yeah, totally. Like, this came out post Zelda, right?
I believe, or at least Zelda concurrent.
Yeah.
Because it came out in America in 87, and so did Zelda.
Yeah. So December 15th, 86. We're looking at The Legend of Zelda video game, came out in Japan, February, mm-hmm. 86.
Right.
So considerably sooner.
Right.
Like, yeah, I got my, you know, where the year changes over, confused for a second, but this came out way, I mean, I guess that could have been development at the same time, but this needed to learn a lot of lessons.
No, this came out in Japan in 85.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it said 86.
No, that's what I believe that's what Wikipedia said. I made a note of it because it seemed real early.
Yeah, it says release date 86, December 15th, 86 on Wikipedia right now.
Okay.
Yeah. It looks like a 5. So this came out after Zelda. It should have learned a lot of lessons from it. It is a bad game.
Yeah.
But a couple of tantalizing little bits of things that would have entranced me as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But.
Yeah. So do you have an especially good GameFAQs review? Because most of the ones that I see, they're like that. Like there are no standouts. I think the highest is a 5.
There's a 7. A guy who just says it's not. He's saying essentially the same kind of things we're saying.
Right.
Most of them are just like people trying to jump on angry video game nerd coattails and you know make fun of it and just kind of slam it. I would like to find the same thing I found for Home Improvement. I would like to find this like a sincere Let's Play.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Somebody just trying to, I mean, I guess the Dr. Sparkle segment, you know, the 10 minutes he spends on this is super sincere and he's mm-hmm. taking it its own value. Yeah. God, is that guy good? I want another episode of that real bad.
Oh, how long has it been?
A while. Huh. I think he put one out at the beginning of the year. So, okay. And that's about standard for him. Like he takes his time.
Right.
But it makes sense because they're huge undertakings and he beats all the games.
Oh really?
So,
wow.
Yeah. He's at this point, like he's beat every, I think the last episode had a Monster Party on it.
Oh wow.
And he's beat every Nintendo game up to that point.
That is absurd.
Other than like sports games and like Mahjong games.
Right.
But every game that can be beaten, he beats.
Yeah. Mahjong, of which there are a panoply of games.
Yeah. Even though they fall out of favor.
Oh. Looking at the forums here, there's one that's Hello as the title, posted by Bob on April the 30th, 2010. And the only contents of the message body is here's crickets.
The people do that. Have you ever thought about people doing like putting together drug deals and stuff using GameFAQs message boards on unpopular games?
No, I haven't thought about it, but it makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, like there are these weird messages. There are these just dead message boards. Or like, you know, when they found that Space Jam website and it hadn't been touched in like 15 years, you know? Like there's probably a message board on there. And just finding dead message boards online and using them to, you know, do illicit things. Or even just have secret conversations. Like what if me and you did like most of our planning for the show on the Deadly Towers?
on the JeffBridges.com homepage, which actually has a forum.
Yeah, exactly. On JB.com/homepage
the dude
and the dude. Well, I mean I imagine that probably gets more play than this does.
Yeah I'm sure.
But it's kind of a cool idea, like you can just kind of find secret corners of the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, there's a short story in that probably.
Yeah, or at least a cool detail for our short yeah. stories.
So that was I was gonna say Mylon's. That was Deadly Towers,
essentially Mylon's secret castle.
Yeah.
Justin, none given. You know, go fuck yourself.
But also thank you for listening.
And thank you for listening.
But also, why are you doing this to us?
Yes, also all of those things.
Yeah.
Appreciated. Please. And so we'll announce our next thing during the next WAF.
Yep.
Probably. And it's going to – I mean, maybe we'll do Wayne's World. We'll see.
Who knows?
Who knows?
So with that, we don't know how to end this show.
Yeah. Praise the sun. Bye. I'm just going to use that for everything because I don't. Yeah. It's so perfect.
Do it.
We made fun of ourselves for that when we first started doing it, but like, it's so good.
It is.
It's nice to have an ending.